You might like to turn in your Bible to the first epistle of John and chapter 3. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we have opened thy love letter, thy word. So God, here we are. Help us understand. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of First Epistle of John, we have come to the point where it is to be understood that the issue of being saved is a wonderful thing, and that the world system at that time and this time even now was very much against for a person enjoying God's saving grace, for a person to enjoy being saved. It was to do everything in all kinds of ways to get you to add, subtract, change, alter, deny, do nothing. All kinds of ways to just make sure you're not saved. Make sure you're not enjoying being saved. That's the background. So the thrust is to drive home the point that God has died on the cross in a most awesome kind of way. God himself in Christ, perfect humanity, born in Bethlehem of Judea. Christ died in our Lord Jesus. God died in our Lord Jesus Christ, his humanity. Now, I can say that. The awesomeness of that, I can't understand. It's way past me. Because God, holy, just, righteous, God, his awesomeness, all of forever, all of creation sits in the middle of God like this. God and his all of creation. That's awesome. God, you did that. And he did. Now, so therefore we share together in the process that God truly, truly went to the cross and really, really died. And we are to understand what happened. Therefore, we read chapter 3, that God loved us with a very strange kind of love. And it's that kind of love that God, loving us, makes it so distinct. It isn't like human love. It isn't like our love. Love to us means many things. The word love, if you ask the average person, each person would have their own little definition of what love is. Whatever love means, I love pizza, that may be it. I love my dog, whatever. They have all of that. So we have that. But then there's God's love. Now, sliding down verse 2. And thus we are sons or children of God. And for real, we really, 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 really are children of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be and we're going to be. That's for sure. That's the way it is. So God, it's going to be, as you said, we're going to be like you. As we read in chapter 3, verse 2, verse 3. And then we have this expectancy. So, having that and keeping that in mind, and then we went and looked at it so that we would understand. Sliding down to verse 9 and where we were. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin, for he is born of God. And the believing heart, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God has forgiven you all your sin, because of his shed blood. So, when I look at your heart, you look at my heart. You look for Christ in me. Christ took all my sin, all your sin, all your sin. You, before God, have no sin. Period. We have an old sin nature doing its job on us. There's no question about that. No question. But Christ crucified that old sin nature. Dead. Dead and buried, not to be dug up. Buried. And he rose again. The life you have in Christ that makes you a child of God is his life. And that life is sinless, perfect, holy, righteous in an awesome way. So that's why you're going to read, we does know we don't sin. That's true. Otherwise, you couldn't be saved. Couldn't be saved. If you're sinning, one minute you're lost, the next minute you're saved, lost, back and forth. Yeah, so you don't do that. That's an insult to God. That offends him. I finished it, he said. And we try to keep it going. Different religions do. We keep it going. We keep it going. We got to keep sinning. We got to keep going and confess, working out, being saved and all of it. God, no, you're done. It's done. So I need to practice what God has made possible for us to be a child of God in a most wonderful way. Therefore, going, if I can, into verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifest, made clear, public, plain. Children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. And we went through that last time. So you understand, there's two. You go all the way back to Genesis, chapter 3, verse 15. You have to turn there. The seed of the woman, the seed of the serpent or the devil. Two seeds. There's saved people and unsaved people. There's Cain people, believers. Abel people, there's believers. And Cain people, unbelievers. That's what the world. There are not, now there's all kinds of religions that we have trying to avoid being committed to God in his wonderful word, in his wonderful way. All kinds of religions. No matter. Agnostic, atheist, whatever you want. You're either saved or you're not saved. Either you are a child of God or you're not a child of God. On planet Earth, two groups. Not four groups. Not two and a half groups. Two groups. Saved, unsaved. People that know God and don't know God. That have been sincere and everything. But people that really have received Christ as their Savior are saved. That's church age, grace, and even beyond. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, so with two groups, and you're either alive or you're dead. It's a state of death. You need life. That's why you receive Christ, to have his life. I don't have his life. Apart from believing and understanding his word and honoring it, I don't have life. I have to receive Christ as my Savior. And when I do, I have eternal life in a wonderful way. That eternal life is just what it is. What do you mean? John 17:3. Eternal life is to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So God, eternal life is a unique relationship to you, and you are the sinless Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. So, having said that, keeping that in mind, therefore, verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest, the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth righteousness is of God, neither he that loveth not, whosoever doth not, whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So, that's all two things. If you don't have righteousness. Now, and we did all that in the light of chapter 2, verse 29, etc. Now, just to remind yourself, how do we get righteous? You have to be a child. You have to be a child of the devil, a child of God. How am I going to be a child of God? I have to have the rightness. How am I going to have the rightness? Rightness in everything we do. Everything right, 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 right. I can't do right. I got to do right. That's the mark. That's the mark. Therefore, over if you would, keeping in mind, to put that together easy, Romans and chapter 10. And in Romans and chapter 10, would you please note, picking up, if I may, Romans 10, and in verse 2. For I bear record that they, the Jews, have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They're very religious. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. In other words, they're trying to be right. God says you got to be right to be saved. You got to be right. Well, then they're busy, especially the Pharisees, busy trying to do everything just so, just right. But it's according to their own doing right, well, they're on their terms. So therefore, verse 4, reason, explanation. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. The law demands the wages of sin is death. So therefore, Christ died to pay the price rightly, to save us. He answers the law. The wages of sin is death. He answers the law. Righteous. Now, sliding over if I can, in the light of that, chapter 4. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. So what am I going to do as a child of God, as a believer? How did I become a believer? Chapter 4, verse 5, in the light of the context. But to him that worketh not. So it's nothing I'm going to do, say, be, anyway, shape, or form. But of him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly. God is able to justify and to make us right. His faith, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, is counted for righteousness. So what am I going to do? God requires righteousness. I don't have any right. I'm not right. I'll never be right. Christ became sin for us so that we could be right, have his rightness. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. Now, so here we are looking, God, and you're going to go, and you're asking us to believe. Abraham believed God, and it was counted for righteousness. Everyone that would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who died, who answered the law, who paid the price, then, verse 5 again, his faith is counted for righteousness. Right, that's what it's going to be. I don't have, but I do have faith. We walk by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Hebrews 11, 6. You can't please him. You can't be right. Your faith in Christ, who answers, pays the price for your sin, and our righteousness, he provides it. Christ, our, 1 Corinthians 1 and 30. Christ is our righteousness. So by faith, that's right. When I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I walk by faith, I live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, so therefore, by faith, so what do? We receive him as our Savior. Back over to chapter 10. And in chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that won't save you yet, no, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that will save you. Raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For, reason, explanation, because the heart, with the heart man believeth unto, what, dear friends? Righteousness. Where did you get righteousness? You don't have any and neither do I. God is your righteousness. So how are we going to do? We're going to walk by faith to please him. How are we going to be saved? Christ has forgiven us. We're going to thank God and be saved, be forgiven, have the righteousness of God, because it's all given to us in Christ, in God, Christ in God, in the heart. Now, so therefore, like in verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, and back over, if I can, to First John. And so you tell me, pray, I have to go and be righteous. And if you're going to sit down and say, I did the right thing 24 times today. I did the right thing. I did, when I opened the refrigerator door, I did it right. I did everything right. I did nothing wrong today. We say that to ourselves. That isn't true, because your old nature is as guilty as can be, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You're never rid of it. You're never without your old nature. It's always with you. See, I don't have any problem with tissues. I always have a problem with tissues. I always have a problem because my old nature's there. That's what, 1 John. Make the Bible work, talk to you. God talks to you by his word. Listen to him. That's what we try to do. Listen to God. Otherwise, we look at nothing. Singing a hymn doesn't do it. That's good to do, don't get me wrong. Doesn't replace. I want God to talk to me. That's what I do. That's how I study. That's how I understand God. That's why the Word, that's why you know the Word. Because God talks to us. I understand about God. I know him. I know how he thinks. Not everything, but I know how to handle him. Now, so, 1 John chapter 1. And you remember it in verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So what are we doing? We're walking. We're walking before God. Walk by faith, not by sight. And we're going to walk before God, walk as children of the light. We're going to walk before God. We live before God by faith. That's how we do it, by means of faith. We're trusting God. Honoring his word and honoring all that he's given to us, provided for us, the righteousness, the life, the relationship in a most wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way. We're to go and thank you, God. Thank you, you see. You did it. I didn't do it, and I'm to enjoy it. You betcha. You betcha. Now, so therefore, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And so therefore, remember our old nature and the tissue? All right, now let's get that guy out of the way. I said, I'm walking in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing from all sin. Here's my old nature. Now, it didn't go away. There it is. There it is. Now, verse 8, 1 and 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So the root fruit of sin, our old sin nature, we have it. Yes, we do. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us. That's why it's taking care of it. And if we get in trouble, and we get and we do, then what are we going to do? We're going to go, verse 9, confess our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? Because he did the right thing in the right way to save us. Down to chapter 2, verse 1. Little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate, a lawyer, defense, someone to defend us, with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And verse 2, and he is the propitiation, the satisfaction, the full satisfaction to before God of our for our righteousness. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Hang on to that one. Now, so God, what are you doing? You're going to go in your most wonderful way, and you're going to go and give us this wonderful relationship, and we got an old nature, but we aren't playing with it. We aren't sitting there playing with it. We just understand it's there. And so our emphasis isn't, we have to concentrate, use our common sense, and concentrate on what we're supposed to be doing. If you're supposed to be driving the car, you're supposed to be paying attention to driving. You're a believer. You want to drive rightly and trust God, and you drive. That's what you do. You pay attention. I'm a believer, but you pay attention. When you're cooking or baking or whatever you do, don't you have to pay attention to what you're doing? You pay attention to what you're doing. That's what you do as a believer. Always resting. You're a child of God. God is your righteousness, and you're walking in the blood of Jesus Christ is continually keeping you saved forever. Saved. And you have an old nature, but God is, you understand it. You don't sit down and have a big discussion and go write a book about your old nature. You just, what? It's crucified. It's finished. It's done. Over with. You don't want to talk about it. You remember, try reading your Bible again and see where he talks about, let's go back to what you said to your mother 10 years ago. You know, let's go back and see what you did when you were 25 or something. You see, God doesn't do that. He's finished. He isn't going to ask you even what you did next week. And you're going to do it. You don't mean to do it. But you will do it. I'm not a prophet. But you're going to do what you're going to do. Because you got an old nature. But what? You don't have to beat yourself. Just thank you, God, all the dumb things I did and do. And we're going to do them. That's right. Because you're walking in the light as he is in the light. And you need cleansing. Why do you need cleansing? Because you got your old nature. If you didn't have this, then you wouldn't have to get cleansed, would you? Why do you have to keep on cleansing me? Because you got this. Sin, the fruit and the vine and the branches and all the bad stuff. You got it. It's your old nature. So that's what you do. Now, having said that, back over if you would to John. And in 1 John chapter 3, and in verse 10, I did that, so in this the children of God are manifest, the children of the devil. Whosoever liveth, doeth not righteousness, is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. And now, what are we going to do? He that loveth not his brother. Now, so verse 11 is going to answer and help. Verse 11 helps to make understand why verse 10 is true. So therefore, verse 11 helps us with verse 10. For this is the message, reason, because, reason. For this is the message that we heard from the beginning, that we should what? Love one another. That we should love one another. That's what we heard from square one. And we can go back there in a sec, and we can do that. So God, what do you want? So God, you're telling us what? You're telling us we need to go walk before you by faith, and we need to understand that our righteousness comes from trusting you, your righteousness, and we believe and walk by faith to enjoy it. So now, verse 11, and we need to, as you said, we need to love his brother. Now, God, what are we doing loving his brother? Well, we got to know love. That's how you're going to know you're my disciples. That's how you're going to know. That's from the beginning, from the very beginning. And we might as well do that part over, if you can, over to John, Gospel of John, and chapter 13. And you would recall. John chapter 13, verse 14. You remember it? A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another as I have loved you. So the standard we're going by, the standard is God. God is the standard. So what are we doing? We're looking to God as he outworks things. And God loves us. Now God said, I want you to let my love be, I want you to love being loved. I want you to love being loved. I want you to love loving me. Now therefore. So God, what am I going to do? By this shall all men know you're my disciples. It's my love. I'm going to have love. No, I don't want your love. I crucified your old nature. I crucified all about you. All of that sin nature, I crucified it. I don't want your love. I want you to enjoy my loving you. And as you enjoy my loving you, that love, your love being loved, because I love to love you, you see, you're going to enjoy that, and it's going to well up in your heart. Isn't that how you learn to love in a human way? You learn to love by, well, you use the word, means all kinds of things, as we said to all kinds of people. But God's love, what are you going to do, God? As we learn to be loved, the loving takes over. It does. It changes us. So we think differently. We feel differently. We do differently. That's what we do, because we're being loved. We're being loved. Being loved. I'm not doing it. God's doing it. God is loving me. God is loving you. Now, therefore, chapter 14, just quickly going back, chapter 14, John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. What's the commandment? To love one another. Now that's involved. And to really, really practice that, you have to have some more understanding, I think, because it isn't practiced. It isn't practiced. It's our love that we talk about, not God's love. No, it has to be. So right now I'm going to try to stumble through this little bit. to get you to that peace. I almost would tell you to sit there and we'll do the next piece. You need it. If you don't understand how this works, you don't do it. You don't do it. And if I asked you to get up here and explain it to me, explain it to me. Explain it to me in the light of the... And remember now, John writing, John's the penman, God, what are you trying to say in 1 John? You're trying to say what? I expect you to do what I'm telling you. I'm not writing it for the fun of it. You're supposed to practice truth. We did it last time, Deuteronomy 4:1. Do. Here's all this. God, you've given us everything, Israel, and do it. Chapter 5, verse 1. Do it. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. Do it. Do it. I want you to practice it. That's your life. That's how you know and enjoy me. If you don't practice it, you're not a child of God. It almost. That's what it says. It's a way of life. If you never practice it, you never practice it. Where's the evidence? Where's the evidence? You see, the righteousness, we got that part. And God said, well, you love the brethren. Okay, now, chapter 14, one other place where you hear, as you know, chapter 15. Chapter 15. And as we're doing this, it may sound whatever it is to you. I'm trying to help you understand. I'm trying to understand. If we don't put this in the right order and know what it says, actually, God isn't going to go by what you and us guys think. God wrote and thinks what he thinks the way that he thinks. And I need to get in tune with that. Otherwise, I'm trying to read what God says on how I think about it. And I need to understand how God thinks about it, because that's what God's going to do. That's what I'm trying to drive home to our hearts. Otherwise, we got a whole lot of people. Hang on. Chapter 15. And you will note, if I can, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. So God is loving us, in Christ in you, is loving you as the Father loves him, as he loves the Father. Same love. The same love. Hang on to that. The same love. And verse 10, if you keep my commandment, you shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. What's the command? Love one another. Love one another. Love, I really do it. Practice it. But it's so hard to, in the light of all the everything, in the light of reality. Boy, that's hard to understand and even do it. We don't do it. Too hard. You need to understand it. Therefore, in chapter 3 of 1 John, and in 1 John and chapter 3, and you'll note, verse 11, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. So we got that part. We need to love one another. And that's what God's looking for, that kind of love. So, and you have it, that kind of oneness. That's what the early church had. The early church had that in a most wonderful way. In Acts chapter 2, that they were of one heart, one mind, one accord. That's what they were. They'll say, how could that be? They're all different Jews. Different. It isn't like an India caste system. It isn't like a caste system. That just do the rich guy, the poor guy, the big guy, the little guy, the owner, the employee, they're all one. What on earth happened? God was there, bringing them into a unique oneness that God the Son has with the Father. And now we are to have it with the Son and the Father. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over now, so, verse 10. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. That's where children of the devil, where do we come from? We're following the same guy. The devil started out. He got us on the track. He deceived Eve. Eve followed the same pattern that he did to be like God. And we did all that last time or two. So here we go going down the corridor, and here they are. So Cain, you're a child of the devil. That's right. And so are all of we, unsaved people. Because what do you mean? You're doing the same thing he did. He didn't believe. He doesn't want you to believe. You are not believing. You're like him. You're like him. The children of the wicked one. You don't believe. He doesn't. He doesn't want you to be. He's the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2:2. He's the God of this world, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and 4 and 3 and 4. He's the God of this world. He's a boss. He runs it. That's what it is. We shed all that. So he's the children of the devil, unsaved people. They don't want to get saved. So therefore, keeping that in mind, if I can, in God's wonderful grace, and God did that in the early church in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So, and here's Cain. So why are we using Cain? Chapter 3, in verse 12, but as Cain was of that wicked one and slew his brother, wherefore slew he him? Why did he kill him? Because his own works were evil, and his brothers were righteous. What did Abel do? He sacrificed an animal. That's why they had all the sacrifices. I'm going to believe. What are you believing, Abel? I'm going to kill the animal and sacrifice him. That's how my mother and father, Adam and Eve, got coats of skin. And that's why God, that's the rule. Genesis 3:15, seed of the woman, the seed of the serpent. So what are we going to do? We're going to go, and in the process, we're going to go and do the right thing in the right way. But Cain did not do that. Cain just didn't do that. He just didn't do it. And to catch that over, go over if you can, a long way, over to Genesis. I know you know it, but you look at it anyway. Over to Genesis and chapter 4. Genesis in chapter 4, and remember. Now, what did Cain do? He killed his brother. He didn't love him. He's his brother. There are no other brothers. There are no other sisters, as far as we know. There's only two. Mother, father, Adam, Abel, and Cain. Now, Cain, why would you eliminate one of him? That's what he did. He did. You have to understand, way back then in the beginning, the sense of God was big. Sense of God was big. Big. They just sinned. They have sin. Sin hasn't even taken over yet. Man. And Cain, of chapter 4. Chapter 4, picking up, please. Verse 3, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground and of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Because he knew he had to honor God. He had to honor God. He knew that much. But he had to do it on his terms. And Abel, he also brought of the fruit, the firstlings of the flock. He cut and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and unto his offering. But Cain, Cain said, Where do I get? I bought this whole wheelbarrow full of fruit to you from the field. So Cain says, hey, why don't you, where do I fit into this? And God said, you don't. Verse 5. But unto Cain and to the offering, he had this not respect. And Cain was very wroth, angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? And then, see, if thou doest well, thou shalt be, thou shalt not be. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule, and thou shalt rule over him. Now the sin's going to take over. And so what are you going to do? Verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. The word slew was to slaughter, to slit the throat. That's how they kill the animal. Slit the throat. Cain slit Abel's throat. He killed him. That's what he did. Now, we don't have time to do. Got the idea. Cain. Cain didn't love his brother. He should have loved his brother. It's the same. Everything was the same. Same mother, same father, just the two of them. You would think he would respect that. How could you possibly do that, Cain? Because you were so riled up that God took Abel, his offering, and he didn't take mine. And that was a great offense to me. How much of an offense? I killed my brother, and his blood is in the ground. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, back over, if you would, to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. And therefore, Cain is the example. Why is he the prime example? Because he's the first one with only one brother. One person. That's how powerful sin is. You don't want to, God, we don't want to have to answer to you like that. And that's with Cain. So that's powerful way back then. Now, so therefore, conclusion. And the conclusion is put before the condition. Usually it's the condition and then the conclusion. Now here, verse 11, it's the condition and then the conclusion. So, excuse me. Yeah, the conclusion's first. Verse 13. Marvel not, I'll read it that way. If the world hates you, if you understand that, the world hates you. That's what Cain. Cain hated his brother. The world hates you. The devil hates you. He hates God. He hates God in Christ. He hates him. You understand that? Hate. Right there. Now, if the world hates you, therefore believers that are in the light, walking in the light, are going to be spotted by the darkness. They aren't trying to cover them with a lamp, with a cup, so they don't see the light. They're walking in the light. That's what 1 John 1:7. We walk in the light as he is in the light. And the world hates it because we're owning up to the sin and everything. We aren't hiding anything. We're real. That's right. And God saved us for real. That's why Christ died on the cross, to save us. So God, in your most wonderful way, you're going to go and save us for your wonderful thing. Therefore, conclusion, don't marvel not. It's a command, present tense. Don't, say another way, stop worrying. The world hates you. Why does it have to hate me? I'm like them. Yes, you are, but you're saved. The world hates you. Ah, that's true. But what are you going to know? In the process, God's going to go and save you. And when he saves you, the world's going to hate you. And the Lord said, as you know, in John 15 and that, don't be surprised. They hate me. They crucified me. They hate me. Now don't, and the word stop, mom will not, stop worrying. Stop getting all upset. I don't, why am I being, why doesn't everyone like me? Don't do it. Stop what you're thinking. Asking yourself, why am I being hated? Why isn't it, why can't we get along? Because we aren't together. Children of the God, children of the devil. All men are going to know that you love the brethren. Love the brethren, therefore you'll know that they love, when you are loving God, God is going to be what? Loving himself in you, in you, in you. Now, in the process of just thinking about that, I have a golden apple. I didn't bring it out. I actually, golden isn't real gold. Big apple gold. Now, just to illustrate, so you, this illustration falls short, but at least it's something. Now, I'm going to give the first two rows, the people that dared to sit closer. I'm going to put up you guys. I'm going to give you each a golden apple. Make believe. Each a golden apple. Now, you each got a golden apple. And having got the golden apple, I want you to go. And I gave the golden apple. I gave it. And so the golden apple is for me. I'm the source. I'm the apple tree for the golden apples. Now, so I want everyone to have a golden apple. I want everyone to have a golden apple. They don't want a golden apple like Cain, but I want them to have a golden apple. So, how am I going to evidence this? So what I want you to do, first two rows, I want you to take your golden apple and hold it up and make believe you're all holding up a golden apple. And all the people back here, what do you, you have no golden apples. No, but these people, with these golden apples, all the apples are the same. Apple, 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 all golden. And they, where do they come from? Me. They come from me. Gold, 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 gold. What am I trying to say to you guys back there? Do you, I want you to have a golden apple. I want you to have one. They have one. I'm willing to give you one. How do you know? Because I gave it to them as they care about and share their golden apples, as they love each other. It's the same love. It's my love in them, in them, in them. It's my love. And I want you to have it. So what are we going to, how are we going to show I'm the source of the love? Love one another. All have a golden apple. All keep your golden apple so we can see it. That's the evidence that I provided it. Do you understand? It's a lousy illustration, but at least it's something. That's why you love the brethren. But, well, I don't like them, I don't like that, but that person never talks to me, et cetera, et cetera. So, oh, we got, that's flesh. That's this dumb old nature. You're supposed to be walking in the light. Cleanse, forget this dumb thing. But you can't get rid of it, can you? You can't get rid of your lousy habits, and I have them too. They're part of us, part of our experience. So we have to, what? God, confess our sin, and God, if I don't care, I don't show any love. I don't show you God. God, where did I get this? Where did I get this new nature? Where did I get my golden apple? From you. So I need to show it and show it. And that's how God says, that's how they know you're my disciples. Because you all got the same apple. You all have the same love. It's all my love. Love, 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 love. Where'd you get the love? God's love. It all points back. But we don't care. We each do our thing. And that's why we got what we got. It's very rare to love one another, to love the brethren. Really. It's just rare. And we don't mind. We just do it because it's part of our world, part of our church, part of our system. And where's the evidence of Christ? Look out there, see? Where's the evidence? What is the evidence? You're loving one another. You're letting me love you. That's the evidence. Well, we don't do that. Then you don't have any evidence. Be good Protestants, good Catholics, good Mormons, whatever you want to do, and go do your religion. But you aren't showing my life. You understand that? We can sing, have lights, hymns, worship team, and everything, but we got nothing. And God, I'm trying to, you need to understand. God, you're trying to help us. I am. God said, if you don't love your brother, you don't love me. Where's your love? I have to love you guys. You have to love me. I know that's hard. But listen, why? Christ is there. And boy, I'm going to honor it. Or I'm out of business with God. And I'm not nothing, but I tell you, I confess Christ as my Savior. And therefore, you guys, like it or not, you got to love me. Got the idea? And you practice it. I don't care whether you like me or not. I don't, not in that sense. And someone, they don't speak to me. I don't care if you speak to me or you don't speak to me. No offense. It's all, my life isn't wrapped up in us humans. My life is in Christ. My whole life is in Christ. So it has nothing to do with this. So God, what are we going to do? We're going to thank God. We're going to close. Thank God. And we're going to go and ask God in his most loved way to be gracious to us and help us understand. Don't be all upset because people hate you. It's normal. It's just the way it is. Darkness hates light, period. And don't play with it. It's just a fact. And then go with it. And in the process, God, be to us in a special way. And in your wonderful way, in your wonderful word. So therefore, we're going to pray. And God help us. Our Father and God, we thank you for your kindness. Help us in it, God. It's a pretty serious business. Business of being alive, knowing you as our Lord and Savior. God, the realities. You expect the reality. You push for the reality. You bang home the truth to understand the reality of our awesome relationship to you and to each other that bears evidence of one body and one head, even you. So God, help us in every way. And we think of all the different sick people again. And God, we want to see them blessed. So here we are. And God, here we are there. So we bow down our head in our heart. And God, outwork your wonderful will in your wonderful way, in the way that you do it, because you do it. And we are going to thank you, God. We're going to thank you for just being on top of everything. God, yeah, we love you. God, Spirit of God, take care of it. In Christ's name, amen.